In the name of our triune God, who is Father, Son, and Holy Spirit. Amen. Are you different than other people? Are you odd? If someone told you that you were weird, would that be a compliment or a criticism to you? Sometimes we want to be just like everybody else and fit in. One of Melanie and my most embarrassing moments may have been when we were newly married and were invited to a church dinner. We asked the pastor how we should dress, and he said, formal. Melanie wore a fancy black dress, and I wore a black suit with a white shirt and a bow tie. It looked like a tuxedo. When we got to the dinner, everyone else was casual. Jeans and t-shirts, khakis and polos. We didn't know that the pastor had been only kidding when he said formal. Someone asked us if we were the entertainment. Melanie found a sweater out in the car to put on, and I took off my jacket and my bow tie. There are other times that we want to be different from everyone else and express our unique individuality. Times we want to be countercultural and attract attention to ourselves. I'm told that President George H.W. Bush, had a penchant for unusual socks, bright colors, bizarre patterns, images, and cartoon characters. I went through a period like that myself as a teenager. I let my freak flag fly and expressed my unique personality with long hair, work shirts, and torn patched blue jeans, just like all the other nonconformists of the time. John the Baptist is the subject of today's gospel reading, and the one thing that everybody knows about John the Baptist is that he wore a camel hair coat and a leather belt and ate locusts and wild honey. That was just plain weird even 2,000 years ago. Countercultural, nonconforming. No one dressed like that or ate like that even in his time back then. But as they say, there was a method to his madness. John's retro ensemble was vintage prophet Elijah from several centuries earlier. John was dressing like the greatest prophet God's people ever knew. John's outfit gave him the look of a bona fide big-time prophet. Jesus would say that John was Elijah, which is not to say that Jews or Christians believe in reincarnation. We don't. Jesus meant that John had the personality and fulfilled the same function as Elijah. John's specific function was to prepare the way for the Christ, to be the voice crying in the wilderness, making straight his paths. The Old Testament prophets had predicted that. In some ways, John was in step with his contemporaries, and in other ways, he was on a different page to mix some metaphors. The Jews were divided into several parties, two of which were the Sadducees and the Pharisees. The Sadducees had pretty much sold out to Roman society and lost the essence of their Jewish faith. They were cultural Jews, Jews in name only. John would not have fit in with them at all. The Pharisees could be characterized as the strict Jewish fundamentalists, and John would have had much in common with them, such as looking for the Messiah and a strong adherence to the traditional morality. But John would have offended all Jews by saying that their ethnic heritage and their genealogy tracing back to Abraham was of no real value. He dared to befriend the tax collectors who were hated, not only because everybody hates paying taxes, but because they cooperated with the oppressive Romans who occupied their country. And not only that, John also fraternized with the detested Roman soldiers, which put him way out of the mainstream. And not only that, but he advocated for compassion and charity, which are never popular anytime, anywhere. You can see how so many ways Jesus and John were so much alike. John reaching out to the outcasts and Gentiles, hanging out with the weirdos, and showing them God's love. That's countercultural to the max. Often, I will try to call John the Baptist John the Baptizer, so that no one thinks he is exclusively affiliated with one modern denomination. Perhaps I should call him John the Lutheran, because at their best, we Lutherans are as countercultural as John was. We are not a mainline church. We don't conform to the world's expectations. Take, for instance, what John is famous for, baptism. There is a meme that's a picture of a newly baptized baby saying, "I kid you not, my parents took me to some strange building and some guy in a dress tried to drown me and they all just stood around taking pictures." That humorous post contains a lot more theology than it might appear at first glance. John's baptism was a sign that the person being baptized repented of their sins. That was all well and good for the time. But Jesus' baptism is different. It isn't a statement we make. It is not something we do. It is a gift God gives. The action is all God's. Baptism is not a mere symbol. It's much more important than any empty symbol. The Bible says, "Baptism now saves you." You can look that up in 1 Peter chapter 3, verse 21. Notice, too, that the child being baptized in the meme, there was nothing there about an age or discretion or a dedication ceremony. They just aren't found in the Bible. In the New Testament, whole households, including children, are baptized. What could be more beautiful and a complete revelation of God's grace coming to us freely even before we can fully understand it? And getting back to that clothing issue, the baby in the meme says it was a guy in a dress who baptized them. Why am I every Sunday the only guy in church in a dress? Well, actually, it's not a dress, it's called an alb. It's what a typical middle class man would have worn 2,000 years ago. It's what the apostles would have worn. What was mainstream then is countercultural now. The alb's purpose is that it reminds us that we are still in the company of Christ's first followers, even today, through the great cloud of witnesses that surround us. It is word and sacrament by Christ, which is present here among us. And I dress the part of an apostle to remind us that that's where we came from. Not only that, albs and the other traditional vestments cover the differences between pastors. Would you feel differently about your pastor if he was wearing a $1,000 designer suit? Or what if my suit looked something like something Pee Wee Herman might have rejected? The traditional vestments remind us that it is not the personality or style of the minister that matters. The crux of it all is God's word and Christ's sacrifice. That's why we Lutherans are so often out of step with culture, so out of step with the fads and fashions of the day, and proud of it. In fact, we celebrate and proclaim how different we are because we are doing our best to follow Christ, who was so very different. And we invite everyone along for the weird, weird journey we're on, like John the Baptizer did. When we read about John the Baptizer, we find that despite being so countercultural, he became immensely popular with the people. Maybe that tells us that the criteria we should judge by isn't what's normal or what's weird, but what's right and what's wrong, what's godly and what's profane. Yet, despite being immensely popular, John ran afoul of the powers that be, and eventually he got himself beheaded. There's always a price to pay for being different. There's always a price to pay for being right when everyone else is wrong. But we must let our Jesus freak flag fly. In so many ways, John's life was just the perfect preview of Jesus' life. Just as John was martyred for his faith, so did Jesus die for his. The difference, of course, is that Jesus' death on the cross is our salvation. And he will come again to take us to heaven, where we will be clothed in his righteousness. That is where each of us will be like Jesus, and yet still uniquely be you and me. I can't wait to see what that's like. So come, Lord Jesus, come quickly and take us home. And may the peace of God, which passes all understanding, keep your hearts and minds in Christ Jesus. Amen.